Dad.
Come on.
Welcome back. It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
Okay, we are back. We are live, and we are freezing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is 4 degrees right now.
Which is a chill.
Currently feels like minus 10.
Oh, cool.
Minus 10. Okay, if you have not been outside yet this morning, brace yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you do not, you don't even know what's about to happen to you.
All your holes will seize.
Whole season. No, I'm telling you, man, like, I understand that we don't get this cold this often.
No.
Because even I was being arrogant last night because I'm looking at all the forecasts. I'm like, from Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. And the second I stepped out my front door,
yeah,
I wanted to go back inside immediately. It is dangerous cold.
Yes.
Straight up dangerous cold. There are school closings, which we're going to talk about more later in the show. So make sure your kid doesn't have school before you leave this morning. Or, by the way, the Henrietta Senior Center also closed today. I always find it funny. I'm looking at the list of school closings on 13WAM right now.
Yeah,
you got your standard. Like, City's closed, Kearney's closed. You know, there's a couple other districts, right?
Mm.
And then it's like,
all the after activities and stuff.
Like places I've never heard before, right? Like Oregon Leopard, Oregon Leopold Daycare Center, closed today. Salem United Church of Christ, closed today. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, no church?
No, if you were planning on going to the Salem United Church of Christ, do not go. Also, their SNC annual meeting has been postponed.
What? I brought a cupcake.
If you work outside, call whoever you work for before you leave the house to make sure that you're still doing it. And for God's sakes, I know we make fun of Tommy all the time about all the stuff that he puts on his body, but if you're going to do it, today is a day to
do it. Gotta layer up. And I think tomorrow is worse than today.
It is?
Shut up.
Yeah, I think the wind chill is supposed to be worse tomorrow.
Are you just saying that?
No, because I think it gets windy tomorrow.
Lovely.
According to 10, and 10 is the weather.
This is the kind of weather where you're just, if you don't have a garage, you're just crossing your fingers that your car starts.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. It's funny you bring up, you know, 10 knows weather. They have so many meteorologists now.
They do.
That 10 could just put a meteorologist in everyone's home in the greater Rochester area to tell. Like, could you imagine waking up to Glenn Johnson at the foot of your bed?
Not again.
But we have an interesting side-by-side.
Yeah.
Because as bitterly cold as it is this morning, which should make everybody miserable, there is not a person in Western New York that has a frown on their face based on what happened on Sunday night.
Yeah, buddy.
We are back for the first time since your Buffalo Bills punched their ticket to the AFC Championship game, 6:30 against Kansas City on Sunday night. Oh, my God. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Kimmy.
Yeah.
First thing you did after the Bills won that game Sunday night.
Okay, it was like a weird... I don't know if because we watched it with, it was like my husband, me, and two of his buddies, and I feel like we were all just in such shock that, like, we were happy, but we're like, whew, on to the next one. Like, I feel like it's, nobody's ready to celebrate yet, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like, okay, good, we got past that, now on to the next.
So it was relief more than...
I think it was more relief than, you know, just celebrating and getting hammered and... pretending like, you know, we won the Super Bowl.
All right, so Tommy, you watched the first half of Bill Gray's Jai Alai, right?
And then it was insane.
You said there were dancing people.
Yeah, people were dancing all over the place. Everybody was going crazy.
Are you sure they weren't dancing out of celebration for you appearing at the Bill Gray's Taproom?
Or maybe when I was leaving.
But you watched the second half with your wife. You went home and watched it.
Yes.
And your wife is the diehard Bills fan of the house, right?
Yeah. She's got the gear on. She got the banner from M&T. It's draped over like some stuff.
I love how you made fun of that banner and now you can't get rid of it. It's behind you and in your house. Mm-hmm. All right, so can you describe to me the side-by-side of the feeling your wife had versus the feeling you had when that game ended?
Well, my wife was going crazy, which means the dog is also going crazy. It's just insanity.
What an old man thing to say. My wife's going crazy. Now he's got the dog worked
up. Yeah, the dog gets crazy when you get crazy. So she's out of her mind. She's, you know, and I'm like just watching
too.
And I'm like... like, when that dude dropped that ball, because I thought they were going to score, it's going to overtime,
wild.
And I go...
I think that's why people had such a hard time celebrating, because it was just like, you were in shock almost.
Yeah.
I mean, they still had 1:30 left. They were going to drive that field with 2 timeouts and kick a game-winning field goal.
That was the goal. But,
I mean, the fact that,
I think it was just like such a... wait, like, what? It's very rare, especially maybe I just, you know, thinking through a Bills fan's brain... but I feel like it's rare that another team That seems to be happened more to the Bills than the teams that they're playing.
No, the Bills got lucky in that moment. Yeah. You're right. I agree with you. And 100%,
but he usually goes against
them.
Yes. You're right. Yeah. I cannot remember the last time a team missed a kick to win a game where there weren't 12 players on the field where they got to try it again. But you get what I'm saying. You're right. Mm-hmm. It usually goes the other way. It is funny you describe, like, Kimmy, you're describing not knowing how to react. Yes, but that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know how to react when what normally happens to us happens to someone else.
Wait, so all we have to do now is just, you know, hold on to the ball?
So, with Bill's Mafia fever sweeping Western New York, if it wasn't insane enough before, now with the biggest game in 30 years coming up on Sunday night, everybody is in on this. So I'm watching the game with my wife in my house. Mm-hmm. My daughter had a hockey tournament. I wasn't going to be able to make it, so I gave my brother and his wife my ticket.
Yeah,
and I immediately regretted it, but that's a whole other thing. So we're watching the game in the basement. My youngest, who kind of watches football.
Yeah.
My wife, who, God bless her, she's in on it now, but doesn't fully understand what's happening. Mm. So I like have to explain it to her when she has questions.
She's a casual fan.
Yeah. And me. So the Andrews drop happens on the 2-point conversion. The Bills recover the onside kick. Quick sidebar. The hardest thing in the world to describe is an onside kick to someone who has no comprehension of what an onside kick is.
Mm. Yeah.
I want you today to walk up to a stranger who doesn't watch football and try to describe to them an onside kick. And keep in mind, I'm trying to do this as they're about to line up, and my anxiety is here right now.
Oh, sure.
And my wife is, like, not understanding why I'm just not like, oh, well, here's how it works, and I'll explain. I'm, like, trying to talk as fast, like, we're going to let him kick it. I got to kick it at least 10 yards, and somebody touches the other team. All right, so the Bills recover the onside kick.
Yeah.
The Ravens have one timeout left, which means the Bills have to get a first down to ice the game.
Yeah.
Ty Johnson takes that ball, runs it 12 yards, falls down.
Game's over.
Game's over. So I know the game is over. Mm-hmm. My hands are on my head. I can't believe it. We did it. Oh, my God. Right? So I'm not paying attention. My back's to the television because the game is over. The Bills can just knee it out.
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes, oh, my God! And I thought,
yeah, what happened?
Josh fumbled the ball.
I turn around.
He just took a knee.
Yeah.
And I go, what is he doing?
They quit. They're a bunch of quitters.
That's what
to your point, I guess, like, you know, if you've never seen that situation before. It would be a little weird.
She's watched games where the Bills have kneed it out before. She flipped.
It is unique to football that you just take a knee and not try.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. But like, hey.
It'd be like a batter going up with no bat and just standing.
Yeah.
Game's over. I'm not playing.
But like, I literally had a heart attack in the moment I had to whip my head around because I had this image of like, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to see some Ravens defender scooping up a ball
running
on a fumbled. Oh my God, the Ravens run again. Because that would have been the most Bills history thing to happen ever, right?
Yep.
So like, with this game coming up on Sunday, and maybe this is something we discuss more.
Yeah.
It is very important to choose who you watch this game with. Because you do not want to be in a situation where you are having to describe what is happening to someone who innocently enough doesn't know and doesn't know it's inappropriate to ask while it's happening.
Okay, but that's just been going on for the history of time.
What do you mean?
Like my mother watched football when my sister watched football. My mother used to call helmets hats. And she goes, which hat are, because we used to watch the Dolphins, right? She goes, what hat does Miami wear? And then she'd also call their uniforms outfits.
I mean, the hat I can get behind, the outfit, which is outfit.
Yeah.
You got the white outfits on?
Right. It would drive my old man nuts.
But, like, you don't want to be rude because want everybody to be involved.
But you're also trying to watch a game.
And that's just it, right? Like, I can't look at my wife in that moment and be like, please stop. Please stop
Just watch.
Please stop. Because, like, here's the thing. Any other game, I would be happy to sit here and bore you with all of the details of what's going on, what could happen. But, like, please not right now.
Yeah.
Why don't you write down all questions, and afterwards we can have a Q&A period.
Submit your questions here.
Thank you. I'll put a box in my basement.
That should go well.
It can be frustrating watching these high-stakes games with somebody who maybe isn't as familiar with the game, but I would argue it's worse to watch it with a know-it-all.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
man.
Somebody that wants to tell you why they should or should have done what they did and be hypercritical of every play.
Okay, you're talking negative know-it-all.
Negative, and they go both ways. But
most know-it-alls tend to be on the negative side.
But yeah, I think it always kind of turns negative.
Okay. No,
Here's how I would do it if I was coaching a team. Back when I played high school ball.
Quick PSA for you.
Yeah.
If you peaked at high school football, which most of us did.
Yeah.
Right? You can't do not ever say, when I played ball or when I played the game or when I was playing linebacker.
Sometimes they don't have to. No, you just know what they mean.
But at least they're not saying it.
Yeah.
Like, don't say it because you sound like an idiot.
Yes.
Like, I get you had an outstanding career for the class of 95 at Cal Mum, and that's good for you, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody can take that away from you. But these are finely tuned millionaire athletes at the top of their game. Right.
It ain't the same thing, man.
They weren't running the wing T offense with you at fullback, man. It's a little bit different. Just, don't embarrass yourself.
You don't understand the sacrifice you had to make at that position like I did.
You know, we were talking last week on Friday about legacy games, right? And how when you are in the playoffs and you have two elite quarterbacks playing each other, it's more than just the win or the loss. These, you know, wins and losses go down in history. 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, no one's going to remember that Lamar Jackson had more yards than Josh Allen, right? Threw for more touchdowns than Josh Allen. They're only going to remember that Josh Allen won that game.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're at the point now, as Kimmy brought up earlier this morning, with the Bills getting over the divisional hump that they couldn't get over the last two seasons, that this is now officially a season that Bills fans, no matter what happens on Sunday, will remember forever.
Oh, sure. You're a game away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, until the Bills punch through, which could happen on Sunday, mm-hmm. right? Like, once you get to an AFC championship game, that is the season that is burned in your memory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Like, the moments from this season were phenomenal. The expectations versus the way that they performed, everything has gone so swimmingly, so swimmingly, that 30 years from now, you're going to talk about that 2024 season.
Oh, sure.
And the 2025 playoff run, which I think is very cool to realize that in the moment that we are literally witnessing history that people are going to talk about for the next 50 years.
Yeah, and you got two of the greatest quarterbacks going at it.
Yeah.
Actually, we had three with Lamar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. C.J. Stroud sucks.
He just looks too young to play yet.
He'll get there.
He looks like a college kid.
Well, he should be a college
kid. He's got that baby face. And he looks, kind of cheerful.
I don't think he's going to get there, but that's a whole other argument we could have on. Well, Kimmy said he'll get there one day. I don't think he's going to be all that.
No, you don't
sure
think
people said the same thing about Josh Allen.
Yeah, but Josh Allen kept getting better.
We said the same thing at some point.
Josh kept getting.
Oh, they drafted Josh Allen. Look, what are the Bills thinking?
You're right. I was wrong about that night. I wanted Josh Rosen, and thank God that didn't happen. Right. But Josh just kept getting better, where C.J. Stroud seems to have taken a step back from last year. A lot of things happened.
And he doesn't look very big.
He's okay. Well,
I guess when you look at Josh Allen, like he looks like a big ass man, where CJ looks like a kid.
So you prefer your men big and strong.
You want a big strong man back there,
okay?
Taking care of business.
It is funny too.
24 sevs.
As we talk about big men, Lamar is not a small man. Lamar is like a pretty jacked, tall dude.
Yeah.
And even when like they embrace Josh and Lamar, he makes him look like a string bean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, when they hugged at the end of the game.
Can I also
say, by the way, that happened really quick.
Josh went right to him.
Yeah. To him. They both kind of went to each other.
Like he was picking him up at the airport from war.
I want to say, man, I want a reason to hate Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the Baltimore Ravens.
Because I think they're going to see each other again and again, you know?
And they've had really good games and rivalries and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to like the Ravens. I want to hate the Ravens. And no matter what I look for, I can't help but love Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Everything he does. The guy plays hard. He is uber talented.
But he's also really laid back. Like when they talk to him, he's just a very laid back guy.
He seems very humble.
Yeah.
Right? Like the guy, you saw the way he embraced Josh. Big smile on his face. Congratulations. Yeah. You know, go win something. Which is,
especially after the way they just lost. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he could have ran off the field because he was upset. That's a devastating way to lose a game.
100%. Right? I mean, he then, in the post-game press conferences, he takes all of the credit for the loss. You know, it was the turnovers, he can't do that anymore. And he was very, again, like, measured the way that he spoke. Right?
Yeah.
He's great with charities. I have decided that if for some reason the universe never produced Josh Allen as a person, I would want Lamar Jackson as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah, you'd take him.
Which makes me angry, because let me hate do something so I can hate you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hate you. We heard what we thought was every story from folks that have been the victims of these car thefts.
Yeah, what happened now?
Well, I mean, it's not what has happened. It's the fact that we never really considered, watch out for that microphone,
yes,
the potential for this to happen. Because getting your car back would be a good thing until you realize what your car may have been used for while it was missing.
Evil?
Yes.
You got an evil car.
You're hanging out at the Brinker Brunch, just Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. So over the weekend, there were another string of car break-ins in the city of Rochester.
Man, I thought we were kind of done with this, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, no kidding. But
you got to scrape and clean it off?
You know, that's a good question. If you're going to steal a car, you do have to like let it warm up for a little
while. Right, yeah.
40 cars had their windows smashed. I don't know how many were taken.
Wait, 40?
40 cars. No, they weren't taken. They just had their windows.
Yeah, vandalized.
It's like somebody went down the line.
But they did talk to a woman who had her car taken recently from the parking lot of Good Luck.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news
is... the restaurant.
Yeah. The good news...
good news.
When police were able to recover her car.
Yeah.
But when they recovered the car, they realized the thieves had taken her insurance cards, her garage door opener, her work badge, and some clothes that were in the vehicle. In their place, they left marijuana, pills, and other drugs.
Great.
That's a weird swap.
They left drugs?
They left them. They must have just abandoned the car at some point and had whatever was in there in there.
Okay.
Which, by the way, not the worst trade-off.
Take the drugs.
I mean, yeah, work badge for pills, pretty good trade. Remember,
leave the gun, take the cannoli.
All of this according to 10NBC, by the way. But it has this woman and her son afraid for her safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because she tells the folks at 10NBC they have all of her ID and they have a way to get into her garage.
Right.
And she is now driving around in a car, or will be, that may have been used in other crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we figured out that after the joyriding phase was finished, some folks started to steal cars to commit other crimes with the cars. And that car may have been used in a crime against God knows who.
Yeah.
Which brings up a question that we somehow never thought of throughout this whole Kia Hyundai situation. Tommy, would you want to know which crimes your car were involved in if it were stolen?
Yeah, I think so. Curiosity would get to me.
Really?
I think I'd want to know.
Really?
I mean, unless it was like so heinous.
Well, but you wouldn't know until they told you.
Right.
True. But I'm guessing it's more like smash and grab robberies.
Why?
Because that's what I've been seeing. Like, they either joyride or they're going to smash a window of a store, run in and grab the stuff.
Okay.
I can't think of anything else you would do with a car.
Okay. Well, you could use it as...
you run somebody over.
Or use it as in like a drive-by shooting or something like that. Kimmy, would you want to know what your car was involved in if it were stolen?
I guess as curious as I would be, there's nothing I can do to change any of it. Mm-hmm. So maybe in order for it to not mess with my head moving forward, maybe I wouldn't want to know.
Okay.
Because, yeah, to your point, like, I don't know if somebody's going to be looking for my car. And if they are, is there anything I could even do about it?
So that might be the problem here. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Now, there are two reasons why you would want to know.
Yeah.
One being entertainment value.
Sure.
Right. But two, safety. If your car was involved in some stuff that affected other people negatively, that could, in theory, affect you negatively when you are driving in your car later.
Yeah, if you get spotted, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, folks remember something that would happen to them, the car that someone was driving. And we've seen, Tommy, people the last couple of years in our area, they have no problem sometimes confronting folks they believe
wronged them. Getting revenge.
Exactly. And eventually your side of the story would sort everything out, but that doesn't help you before you explain yourself.
Yeah.
Or if you're not with your car when the victim stumbles across it. You know, could you imagine having your car broken into, it's committed, somebody commits a crime in it, and then somebody else finds it and just destroys it?
Yeah.
Out of revenge?
Yeah. True.
Right? But then again, the reason you wouldn't want to know is so you can keep driving that car, not worrying about
it. Yeah, because you need a set of wheels. What do you do?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
You're going to drive the car.
All right, let me ask you this.
What?
If you found out that the car that was yours that was stolen was involved in a heinous crime.
Heinous.
Could you continue driving that car?
Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, the car didn't do anything. The car doesn't have like a soul.
All right, I'm going to throw out a hypothetical situation. Terrible hypothetical situation. Your car gets stolen and there was a body in the trunk at one point.
Well, that's a little different.
No, I don't. But that, I love how you don't even consider that.
I would be, this didn't smell, right?
That's what you're worried about.
Yes.
No.
No stinkies.
No.
No, I'm all right.
Even if there's like a little bit of like a stain, an unexplained stain.
But what they explain, it would be blood.
Well, no, I mean.
I don't know. You
or
could
some kind of
something.
Discharge from the corpse.
How are you so nonchalant?
I'm Sicilian.
You're the
we always open up trunks slowly.
You're the softest man I know.
Yeah, but I you know.
You got a problem killing moles in the backyard.
Yes.
You're gonna drive around with a body that was in the
trunk. But you've asked me this question before in a different way about houses.
Sure.
Like, would you buy a house if it was deeply discounted if something horrible happened in it? You'd never know it. It was all cleaned up. I'm going, yeah, man, it's a discount.
But I think this situation is a little bit different.
Never let a heinous go to waste.
When it
this.
Well, you were doing
that.
That
didn't work how you thought it would.
Heinous to wastes.
Was it he? All right. I think the house situation is different than the car situation because the house you're buying, you did not own.
Right.
You were of no connection to it when that horrible thing happened. Your car was yours. It was taken. Something terrible happened.
Yeah, borrowed.
And then you are now driving it again.
So there was a body in the trunk.
I would have a really hard time driving around my car if I knew at one point there was someone dead.
I think you would get over it.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, after a while, you'd be desensitized to it. So you would just be throwing your groceries back there and throwing your luggage and going.
Yeah, neither did I. I don't want to know. That's even more of a reason I don't want to.
No, it's completely clean, right?
I don't think I would use the trunk. Again, I think everything would be going in my backseat.
How could you not use the trunk?
You have to use the trunk.
Yeah.
Because you have kids. You have to load
your kids in the trunk.
Put your food in there. Yeah, you'd have to. No. I think you'd get over it.
I didn't even consider that. I don't think you could, man. I think every time you open that trunk for the rest of your life, that thought that someone was deceased in this car would be there.
Oh.
No, not for you.
I don't.
Okay.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Whatever you say, dead trunk driver. You're a psycho.
I didn't kill anybody. No,
where were you that night?
I was looking for my car.
I love, man. I mean, that would have to bother Kimmy most people enough to not want to drive that car ever again.
I would think so.
But that's like, because you believe in ghosts and the spirits.
No, it's
just the constant reminder, you know, every time you get in that car.
And yeah, it has nothing to do with ghosts. It has it's the idea that somebody's life may have ended in the vehicle that I'm currently driving.
It creeps you out.
Yeah, I guess. So maybe it is. I don't think it's ghosts. I don't think.
Well, you're creeped out.
I am creeped out. Is that the same thing?
Like you think there might be a spirit in there?
No. It's just the idea of I am now closer connected to that than I ever wanted to be.
Yes, you are. You're very close to death. Was right behind you.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally stalking me every time I'm driving my car.
Yeah.
Let's say that there's an accident, there's a fatal accident, but the car isn't totaled. Does that person just go on driving that car still? Like if the owner of the car wasn't the one that passed away?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out a situation where someone could die in a car that they're not going to total.
Like I was driving, that person died. I still own the car. The car's fixed.
I don't know how you would do that. Wow, this got really dark really fast. Thanks, Kimmy.
Well, I was just thinking.
We had a hypothetical body in the trunk that we weren't connected to, and now you got people dying in a car.
I'm just thinking of other ways that somebody could die in a car where you'd still have the car.
Thanks for coming back on a Tuesday, everybody.
But, I mean, I've even looked. Like, I always wanted to go see. I always wanted to see. I think, is Bonnie and Clyde's car in Vegas at a museum? The one that's all full of bullets.
I feel like it's in some state off the beaten path where it's like people go to see it, but you might be right.
I thought it was Nevada.
Could be fine.
I would go see that. I could look at that and realize two people were mowed down, but these are like two of the most iconic criminals in American history.
Look, I would go look at it too, but I'm not driving it around.
No, but would you go look at it? Would you pay $20?
No.
Lousy $20. You can't give that to Bonnie and Clyde.
If it was free, like
all they did for you.
What is Bonnie?
Get seven movies out of that.
I've never seen one Bonnie and Clyde movie.
You didn't see the one with Faye Dunaway?
No, I was born in 1986.
Yeah, because it's called reruns.
It's called reruns. So you know how when you buy a house, somebody passes away and they have to disclose that. Or if there's a crime that happened
there?
Do
they have to do that now? Because they didn't. I told you. I grew up in
a
house.
Well, I think if you ask, they have to tell you. Yeah. Maybe they don't have to tell you up front, but if you ask, I think they have to tell you. Is that the same for a car?
I don't know. I do not know.
I will say this. If you ever buy a house or a condominium in Florida, odds are somebody passed away in that house.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because where my parents lived in their condo, you know, people just aged out and they passed away in their condominiums.
Well, to your point, as we talk about again, this woman, she had her car stolen out of the parking lot at Good Luck. They took a bunch of stuff out of her car, garage door opener, insurance cards, work badge, and she's worried now that they have access to her car. We're talking about.
They got her identity.
Yes, and with these cars being stolen and now some of them being used in crimes, would you want to know after you got your car back? It's funny, like we talk about Irondequoit as being one of the fastest changeover towns.
Yeah, it's an old, older
neighborhood.
Set,
going to a younger thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're on Zillow or like checking that stuff out, houses that are for sale, you'll see some houses. You know that was a person who bought the house in 1968.
Yeah. Never changed since.
Did not update a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, do people consider that when they're walking through seeing shag carpeting and lime green wallpaper that that person died in that house?
Yeah,
I think that there was a time where you were maybe more concerned about that when you had more options.
Okay.
But I will say when we were looking, I don't think that that would have deterred us one way or the other. We did look at one house where I don't think the woman died in – it was one of the same situations where this woman probably lived there for decades.
Yeah.
And I don't think she passed in the house, but she –
owned it when she
owned
was
it
dead.
When she passed away.
Yeah, but that don't count nothing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is something that kind of freaks you out a little bit. But again, like we were just like we just want a house.
Understood. You know, going back to the actual car story.
Yeah, yeah.
The most interesting part of this, you know, we told you that they found the police when they recovered the car, marijuana pills and other drugs in the car. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Story on 10 NBC says that they are going to be doing drug tests on the inside of the car, and if those tests come back positive, the insurance company considers the car totaled.
Oh, then she gets her bank.
Yes.
Man, you're pulling for that.
Yeah. Agreed. But did you guys know that? That
no.
There could be a certain type of drug that if it tests positive in the car, they will not give you your car back?
Did not know that.
Wow.
What drug could
that
be?
Safety?
So it's just in the car?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be for safety because it's not marijuana because they know marijuana
is like fentanyl or something
maybe
like that.
It's fentanyl,
which is like so dangerous,
like something that you really can't handle or touch.
Well, I would wonder what the line's going to be. Is it? I mean, crack cocaine would also be dangerous.
Crack cocaine,
heroin.
Heroin,
I don't know.
Fireball.
No, I'm dying to know what the line of drug is.
I've never heard of that.
Neither had I.
Because that doesn't, what's the difference?
I guess the idea is if it's in the car and it's not cleaned or it's in the seat or something.
It's contaminated?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe that you can get skin-to-skin contact or something falls, you touch, hands, face.
Kids, yeah.
Who knows, man?
Wow.
I thought that was the most interesting
part.
But
that's a lottery ticket, man. You get your money back from your car.
Yeah.
That it solves everything.
Hope they did the drug test enough, because that would be in my head, too, if they give it back to me. Like, did they swipe every part of this seat?
Yeah, no kidding.
Am I going to, like, all of a sudden touch fentanyl?
Is it correct? It's that lethal, right?
I mean, there's a whole debate to be
but
had.
It's very scary.
Well, yeah, look, it's scary.
Yeah.
We could go 4 hours and get 18 different arguments about the whole fentanyl thing, but we will not. You got to take care of your body.
Well, yeah, you do. You got to maintain, buddy.
But taking care of yourself, Tommy, it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And something was said about one man during that Bills-Ravens broadcast Sunday night. That is mind-blowing. Because, of course, everyone wants to look like this.
Yes.
But to have to spend this much money to get that body.
To maintain it.
Yeah.
So where, how far can you take it, though? I mean, there's just so much technology and stuff you can piss away on. You know what I mean?
You're not even thinking. You're hanging out in the break room. Watch this classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. So Lamar and Derrick Henry and the rest of the Ravens, they are out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Season is over. But they had an impressive season.
Oh, yeah.
And Derrick Henry, Tommy, you being the president of his fan club, you know he did what he did this season at an age that no one expected.
Right, and he's insane of how he does it.
Yes, he's 31 years old and he takes care of himself, really takes care of himself. So if you watch the game on Sunday night, you heard Tony Romo mention, offhanded, that Derrick Henry, Ravens running back, spends $240,000 annually.
So $250,000.
Annually, solely on keeping his body in peak physical condition.
Which is funny because he doesn't eat anything. Like, he doesn't eat dairy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any sweeteners or artificial sweeteners.
Nothing.
So what are you spending money on?
Keeping track of it all for you.
So can we just time out real quick?
Yeah.
All right. If you listen to the show, you know that Tommy loves Derrick Henry. Mm. And he likes to comment on his body, his workout regimen. The fact that you just spit that off the dome when I had to do research.
No, he already knew this number.
You should have called me.
Yeah. And by the way, this is such an old guy thing because my dad does the exact same thing.
Hmm.
Anytime you bring up LeBron James, you know, he spends, what did he say? He must have saw a meme or something that said LeBron James spends $1 million on his health and fitness a year. Well, you know why he's better than everybody. He spends $1 million a year on
you got to invest in yourself.
Well, that's an old man fighting for Jordan. That's what he's doing.
Mm.
But when you ask how you can spend $240,000 annually.
Yeah.
So they itemize it. That includes a personal chef who prepares every single one of
his
meals.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. He takes IV fluids that contain all kinds of vitamins and supplements on a daily basis. So that's stuck into his arm by a professional.
So he takes a needle every day.
Every day.
Just of vitamins.
Vitamins, supplements, things to refresh his body.
Okay.
He pays for cold therapy, infrared sauna.
Hey, by the way, why do you have to pay for cold therapy? It's called just cold showers, right?
No.
Well, no, it's a whole science.
It's a whole thing.
All right.
It's a new thing.
Yeah. It's like a You go into basically a human freezer for a little while.
So he pays for cold therapy. I believe he has his own infrared sauna. He has his own hyperbaric oxygen chamber that he uses for therapy.
So that's what Michael Jackson and Tom Brady have.
Every single time. Right. It's also what Terrell Owens slept in when he ripped his knee up to be able to play in the Super Bowl that one year they went.
I'm surprised he doesn't have... Does he have all the stuff at his house?
I don't...
He's got to.
I would assume so. But the other weird thing is it also shows... like we've seen videos of him working out at his old high school gym.
Oh.
So, like, he spends all this money on all this, like, space-age technology and then goes back. Back
where it all started.
But $250,000 a year. And here's the thing.
Right.
For Derrick Henry, it's a good investment.
Oh, yeah.
It allows
working.
Yes, and it allows him to continue to make tens of millions of dollars and have the career that he has at 31 years old, which is AARP for running backs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a kick in the scrot to the rest of us.
Tell me,
how much should you spend on your body every year? Because if you're going to get healthier, it's going to cost you money. And if we're going to run down what the average person would have to pay for to get healthier, you'd have to have a gym membership or some kind of equipment at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You would have to start getting healthy food. And there are a few ways to go the healthy food route.
Healthy food's expensive, but you got to cut back, right? Because you're also pissing away money on booze and all the other stuff, right? That you're not going to do. I always thought the money just shifted.
Because
think of all the money you spend partying, and if you're not doing that and eating out and eating fatty foods, that money just shifts over to a healthier lifestyle.
And I know people that have really committed to the healthier lifestyle. They go one step beyond just getting a gym membership. Like, they'll, you know, hire a trainer or sign up for specific classes, and all that stuff's extra. Doesn't come with your gym membership most of the time.
Now, I understand, Tommy, what you're saying about, like, you know, moving the money around. I think you are overestimating how much fun costs and underestimating how much health costs.
Right.
Because, like, when you're talking about just eating healthy, period, there are three routes you can go. You can buy your healthy groceries, which can get expensive, but it's the most economical.
Yeah.
You can go to a local healthy restaurant on a regular basis, and that costs
bank.
It costs more, but you know what you're getting is good, and it's easier to do because your meals are right there
measured
for you.
Measured out.
Or you can get one of those healthy meal subscription services, which may be the most expensive option.
Oh, the delivery box.
But it's brought right to your door, portioned out, ready to go.
Yeah.
By the way,
poor man's chef.
Yes, exactly. Hey, if there are people listening, 252-WCMF, that have done that healthy food delivery option, what does that cost you per week? What did that
cost
you?
Are you talking about the one that delivers it already cooked and ready to go? Or are you talking about the one that just delivers, like, the ingredients and then you follow
the directions?
I'm talking
about the cooked, ready to go. Okay. I don't get the ingredients one because that's called just going to the grocery. Hey, this does not help me. I still have to cook this food.
I think that one that's completely prepped out
has
got to be a fortune, especially if you're doing it for more than one person. If you're doing it for you and your old lady, that's got to be a few hundred dollars a week.
And that's what you're not thinking of, too. Like, if you're going to make this change together, it's double the gym membership. It's double the food.
And by the way, usually that's just dinner. It's not three meals a day.
Well, some people get two meals a day. And you get your own breakfast, you eat lunch and dinner through this program.
All right.
I mean, I've seen it. Like, there's also multi-level marketing schemes that will offer you the same thing. There was a guy that used to work here that was selling protein meal replacement
shakes.
What
was it, Beachbody?
Yeah.
He was a huge fat ass.
He liked him too much. He was having three meals every mealtime.
God, his big old tater legs. Bro, that boy had some tater legs.
I ended up doing him. And look, I know as we have this conversation.
Yeah.
No one is spending what Derrick Henry does. But is it, like, if you spend an extra $500 a year, is that too much? Are you supposed to spend $10,000 a year?
Here's what's going to hurt. If you spend all this money and you're not seeing the results, that's going to make you fall off quick.
Yeah.
If you're spending another, let's say, $500 a month on food and this and gym memberships and exercise equipment, let's say you really want, and you don't, and you,
you're
2 months, you drop 3 pounds.
Or you're feeling
pissed.
Better about yourself. Yeah.
But the big thing is you're going to get on that. You're going to want to see the results on the scale. That's number one. And if that scale ain't moving, you're pissed.
But there is another side to that idea. Again, 252-WCMF, we're talking about it. It was mentioned offhanded by Tony Romo during the Bulls-Ravens game, but Tommy already knew all this for some reason. Ravens' Derrick Henry, the running back, spends $250,000 a year on just maintaining his body. Personal chef that preps all his meals, IV fluids that he takes on a daily basis. He pays for cold therapy, infrared sauna. He sleeps in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber for therapy. All the money's on trainers and equipment. By the way, I love how kind all you listeners are. Jason writes, we were talking about how T.O. slept on a hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah.
He writes, Tio's ankle, not his knee, dummy.
Damn it, get it right, man.
Thanks. Sorry, Jason.
Also, how long can you maintain this for? Because even if you do make the decision to switch over to a healthier life, like obviously if you're Derrick Henry, like you're going to have unlimited funds. But if you're somebody that's, you know, now has this new lifestyle and it's costing you more, is that something you can maintain for a long period of time? Is this just a quick, like, not even quick, but I'm going to do it until I feel good about myself. I'm at the place I want to be, and then I'm going to stop doing it.
As soon as you stop, the chub comes back. So then you're going to be depressed.
The chub comes back. Thought he was a goner, but the chub
Nothing moves
back.
Faster than chub. Man, it shows up at your door as soon as you decide to go off that diet.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
No, but Kimmy, I think it's a good question. I would say if you're spending the money, even if you can't afford it, once you start to see results, it's very intoxicating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to be motivated.
Yeah, right? But on the other hand...
But also health things change, too. Like, you know, if you're obsessed with the sauna or the cold therapy, like, there could be something that comes out that says... Don't do it as often as you thought you did. You know, I think like stuff like that shifts around, which may also change your budget.
I mean, and that always happens, too. Yeah. I got the healthiest lifestyle ever. Oh, God, no. All the cancer.
Yeah.
No, you know, you brought up a point a second ago, like if you don't lose the weight immediately.
Because that's the first thing you're going to check.
But I think the counterpoint is if you do make a significant financial investment, it keeps you around longer than you would if you
hadn't. It should, right.
But like when it comes to the question, should you invest financially in your health? It's one of those questions you never get a right answer for, because everyone that goes to the gym and tries to eat healthy will say, yes, it's worth it. Everyone that doesn't do that will go, no, that's stupid. You cannot be impartial and unbiased because nobody wants to say they're doing the wrong thing.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Like folks that aren't spending that money are going to go, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money. Why not live? Live, baby.
Well, you only go around once, baby.
And the folks that have spent all that money, you only go around once, so why not make it as long as possible? Look at me. I have self-control and discipline, and you do not. And
but you're not having any fun.
And you have to accept that it's going to change some relationships in your life, whether that's with a buddy that you know, shared that lifestyle with, or a spouse, or even your kids. Like, it could affect a lot of different things.
And then if you do CrossFit, you end up in that cult. Only your friends can do CrossFit, or else Dear Leader gets very upset. You know, serious question is, we're talking about the money it takes to, like, get healthy. How many people are not in the shape they want to be simply because they can't afford it?
Probably most.
I mean, it takes time.
Or at least to kickstart it.
You know, folks love to criticize folks that are not in peak physical condition, saying they don't have the willpower and all that stuff. But it is borderline impossible to make that change if you don't have the funds to do it.
You need funds and you need time.
Yes.
Which most people have neither.
And Tommy, you know this. Living the lifestyles that we used to live. Cheaper food, the stuff that fills you up, is not good for you.
But it tastes so good.
It does, but it's not good for you.
It's like a warm hug.
Like, if I got $5 in my pocket, I can get a can of tuna fish, a banana, and a bottle of water.
Oh, yeah.
I can get 5 burritos at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And folks,
I can eat something a foot long.
And to your point about folks that don't have the time, people that work long hours, multiple jobs.
Which is most people.
They don't even have time to prepare themselves or their families healthy meals. And I know all about that as a kid. Like, how could you do that without the time and the
money? You can't. It's an uphill battle. And then you're fighting everything.
But you keep yelling, chub, 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 chub.
Is it also selfish if you're just doing this for yourself? Like, let's say you have like the meal prep, but it's just for you, not your kids. You know what I mean?
I ain't paying for meal prep for my kids.
And they're not going to want it. Or maybe let's just say you and your husband or wife, you're going to do it. They're not.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to eat
that
meal. That's
your
meal and that's her meal. And then there's the kids' meals. So that's like 3 different diets going on at once at a table.
Yeah.
That's hard. And the temptation's always there because your fat eyes are going to be looking at all that delicious, gooey stuff in their plate. And you ain't getting nothing, man.
Fat eyes, look at the buffet. So I guess give up?
No.
If you're not Derrick Henry, just quit. Lay down.
It's an uphill battle.
Oh, look at you. Let me tell you, I did it, guys. If I did it, anybody could do it. Except I don't really believe that.
But it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It sucks.
It sucks. It sucks.
Is that fun?
But you do feel better.
Yeah, but for what?
I know. Look.
Like, here's the thing. Like, as soon as you start having a good time, you're right back at square one.
No, you're right.
It's such a trap.
I struggle with this on a regular basis. Like, I actually had this discussion with my wife. Like, you know, the idea that working out and eating healthy adds years to your life. But to do that, it also takes time. So I was trying to do the equation in my head. The time I spend working out versus how much time I would need to get on the back end to make it worth it. And I was thinking, like, I don't think the math works out.
No, it doesn't.
And my wife's argument is, well, you feel better along the way. Okay, but, like, you know, they got some pretty cool Rascal scooters that I would not mind using.
Oh, bro, to be fat and old now is paradise. I mean, they got cup holders, dip holders. There's a dip side holders. Saddle for your chips.
Get a fun vanity license plate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done. I'm out. I'm back. 300 pounds. All right, let's take a break.